Welcome to Driven to Business with your host, Eddie Mayfield. Driven to Business is a business forum program that focuses on success principles in business. And now, it's time for Driven to Business.
Good morning and welcome to this week's edition of Driven to Business. I'm Eddie Mayfield. We're glad that you're here. This week's show is a little different. I pre-recorded this program on Holland America's motor vessel Zuiderdam, just off the Alaskan coast a few weeks ago, and I was talking with Ron Van Vliet, who was the hotel and culinary manager on board that ship. So listen up and hear a great interview about the business of running a cruise ship. Okay, now we're going aboard the cruise ship. We're here with Ron Van Vliet. Ron is the culinary director, and right now I think the acting hotel director here on the on this beautiful Holland America motor ship Zuiderdam. We're out in the middle of the ocean. We're on our way back to Vancouver, Canada. And Ron, welcome to Driven to Business.
Well, thank you very much.
Ron, I know it's a bit unusual to have someone come into your office here and just talk to you about all of this. Everyone listening, please excuse the noise. That was me turning the microphone over. You know, I've been running a business for a long time, and a lot of our listeners have, but most of our customers come to us. They buy something from us, or we go out to their place of business and do business, and then we leave. Your customers come with you, and then they sort of move in with you.
Yes. They stay.
What kind of special challenges does that represent to you?
Well, I can tell you it gives a lot of challenges, because when they move in, they want to sleep with you and they want to eat with you.
Yes.
So we have to take care of them from the minute they board the ship until the day they leave. And that means feeding them four times a day. And I'm talking about around 200 guests boarded.
Ron, some of us eat more than three times a day.
They do.
As you may have noticed.
They do. And especially on formal nights.
Yes.
You have no idea what people can put in their mouths.
Oh, it's amazing.
Yeah, it's a lot.
You know, you guys, you do an unbelievable job with the food here. In fact, we brought some friends with us this time, and I always tell them that the meals here are a bit like eating in a very, very fine restaurant at almost all the meals. But yet you have here on the ship, you've got the sort of a formal sit-down dinner that most of us go to, where you dress up a bit.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like in the old days. You don't always wear a tie. You do sometimes. And then you've got the more informal cafe-type things. And then on top of that, you've got out by the pools and all, you basically have hamburger joints.
Yeah.
And taco bars and things.
Yeah. Mexican fiesta. Well, we have on the top deck, we have our casual Lido restaurant.
Right.
And that is open for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And breakfast and lunch, it's used by most of our guests. Then we have the dining room,
right?
Also open for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And there, dinner is mostly used by all guests.
Right.
And we have an open seating, and we have a fixed seating. So guests who prefer to dine every night at the same time, at the same table, with the same waiter, they can choose for that. And we have an open seating arrangement for guests who like to dine whenever it suits them. So they come in from 5:15 until 9 o'clock.
Right.
And they get every night a different table and a different waiter.
Right.
So it makes it difficult for the staff, because they have to be smiley and nice and attentive every night to somebody else, while the guys upstairs on deck three with the fixed dining, they get acquainted with their guests. So that's a little easier to please them better. Then in the Lido, as you said, we have the Mexican fiesta. We have the dive-in hamburger bar that is just implemented. We had a terrace grill.
That's a lot of fun, by the way. It's sort of an old-timey hamburger joint.
Yeah, it is.
In a way,
it is. You can compare it with a diner along the highway,
right,
where they really fry you the fresh hamburger patties,
right,
made out of original ground beef. and not out of the boxes.
You know, like what attracted me to that, Ron, was just walking by there, the smell. I wasn't going to do that, but the smell of the hamburger, you walking by there, and it smells so good. Yeah. You think, well, I'd like to do that. So, yeah. So we stop and eat.
Yeah, it's a whole new concept, just implemented by Holland America Line. And we have a couple of different burgers and hot dogs,
right.
French fries, a new sauce made by our executive chefs in the office.
Which is always very good.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a very successful concept.
You know, this is my, we've all seen stories, and again, I told you beginning, this is not, Driven to Business is not a gotcha program. By the way, let me remind everyone, we're streaming live on biz1190.com, and today's program will be podcast on eddiemayfield.com. We're very fortunate to be out in the middle of the ocean here talking with Ron Van Vliet. Am I saying that correctly?
Ron Van Vliet, yes.
Van Vliet, okay.
That's
my,
right.
My Dutch is not that good, as you can I'm sure tell. You know, one of the things that that is a little bit, I think, surprising perhaps to people that come aboard here is that you really can't walk into any food area around here without seeing the little hand sanitizers. And if you come off and on the ship, there's these very polite gentlemen there who ask you to use a hand sanitizer,
yeah,
coming off. Tell us about that a little bit.
Well, it's very important that we keep everybody healthy on the ship.
Right.
So the minute you board, we take out, we discontinue actually the self-service.
Right.
In the Lido restaurant.
Right.
No self-service on the coffee machines.
Right.
And that's for the first 48 hours. And the reason is people are traveling the whole day.
Right.
They are sitting in taxis. They are sitting in buses. They come from the airport. They touch railings. They touch railings and sit in taxis after somebody else,
right,
has been there.
Right.
And you never know if there is a virus crawling around. So what we do is we take out the self-service and we tell everybody, we ask everybody, well, actually tell them to use the hand sanitizers.
Right.
Because there is nothing worse than coming on a cruise and when you get sick on the first day, they isolate you right away for 72 hours.
Oh, wow.
So there goes half of your vacation.
Right.
So we are trying to avoid that, and that's why we ask everybody to wash their hands as much as possible during the day, and then also using the hand sanitizers. Because the hand sanitizer doesn't replace the hand washing.
Right.
It is really an extra precaution. So wash your hands and use the sanitizers to stay
healthy. I'll just tell you, as a customer, I appreciate that because I can't imagine, like you, anything worse than getting out here and getting sick. And particularly, I mean, you got a cat. We're all sort of close quarters around here. It's a,
yep,
big ship, but still you're rubbing shoulders with a lot of people. It would be, I could see you could have it would be a horrible situation to have someone get an infectious disease here,
oh,
of,
yeah,
any kind, and then have that spread. And you guys do a great job of that. Ron, I've gone through the Grand Canyon twice on a rafting trip.
Oh, yeah.
And you know, one thing very similar about the ship and that, which you may not recognize, is they are, because you're in a small group and you're tightly together down there, and once you start to into the canyon, you have no way out of there except,
no,
to go through. They are very, very, very strict down there about using hand sanitizers,
oh, yeah,
and washing your hands. So much, they're a little ruder about it than you are. They will literally come grab somebody out of a food line and say, you didn't wash your hands.
Yeah.
Go over there and wash your hands. I mean, but they, again, they explained to you, just like you just did, it would be horrible to get sick down there. And you guys, I'm just amazed at what a good job you guys do of that, of keeping us healthy and excellent food and everything else.
Well, thank you.
Out here. Hey, this is my second time on this itinerary. It's my second time to do this exact same cruise. Now, we came back this time and brought some friends with us, which is why I did,
yeah,
it. I wanted them to enjoy this trip. But, you know, the Zuiderdam does not just go to Alaska. I've talked to some of your crew. It's pretty amazing some of the places you go. Like, I know you guys are going to a dry dock, I think, next for some retrofit. But, like, yeah, where has the ship been?
Well, the Zuiderdam does the Caribbean run. That's a 10 and 11-day the Panama Canal.
Right.
Then we do Half Moon Cay, the private island of,
right,
Holland America Line, Aruba, Curaçao, and Panama Canal in and out. Then Colón and back to Fort Lauderdale. It's a 10-day and an 11-day cruise.
Right.
So in one cruise you have Cartagena in there, and the other cruise, the 10-day cruise, you don't have it.
Right.
But for the rest it stays similar. That we do the whole season, the winter season. Then we go to Alaska for the summer season.
Right.
And now this time we leave Alaska on September 27. We go back to Fort Lauderdale. We do the whole Caribbean season. And then we go back to Europe.
Oh, wow.
First in dry dock in April in Italy to get some maintenance done. And then we do the Mediterranean out of Barcelona and Venice. So that,
wow.
That's a whole new...
As a person that works in this business, what I've been to the Caribbean cruise and I've been to Alaska, and just for me, I mean, other people may be different. I very much prefer Alaska. I just like it a lot. But do you have a favorite cruise? Do you have a favorite? You're from Europe, so perhaps.
Well, I am from Europe, yeah. But I've seen a lot
right.
in the years that I'm with the
right.
company, and my favorite is the Asian Pacific.
Oh wow!
Japan, China. I love that. But to keep it a little closer by home, yeah, the Mediterranean.
Ah, I've heard other people say that really is a fascinating place to go.
It's beautiful.
On there. I noticed from talking to other customers here, sitting at dinner and so forth, that many of them are like me. They are repeat customers.
Yes.
Now, we'll continue this after the break, but you guys go to... Just from a business and marketing standpoint, you go to a lot of trouble to get repeat customers back, and you do a good job of that, apparently.
Yeah.
From what I'm doing, can you in about 30 seconds give me a quick rundown of how important that is to you guys? Or
well, we treat everybody, of course, as important people, and we like to have everybody to have a good time, and I think that with the service Holland America Line gives to their guests. The Indonesian crew and the Filipino crew, they have such a warm heart to give love to the guest, and I think that is the biggest drive for our guests to come back to Holland America Line.
I think I agree with you on that. You're listening to Driven to Business from the middle of the, I guess it's the Pacific Ocean. We're not in the middle of the Pacific Ocean,
yeah.
But we're in the Pacific Ocean at
we
least.
Are.
And we'll be back in just a moment. I'm Eddie Mayfield. Hang around.
Keep in mind, we are streaming live on biz1190.com, and today's program will be podcast on eddiemayfield.com and iTunes and everywhere else. Back in a minute. I'm Eddie Mayfield. You're with Driven to Business. Welcome back to Driven to Business. This week we are offshore on the Holland America's motor vessel Zuiderdam off in the Alaskan waters on a remote. We'll go there now. We're interviewing Ronald Van Vliet, the culinary and hotel manager for the ship. Here we are.
We're here on the Holland America's beautiful ship, the Zuiderdam. Ron, I spend a lot of time here on Driven to Business talking to folks about customer service. At our company, we spend a lot. We're a very much smaller company than Holland America, but we spend a lot of time and money working on our customer service culture, which we think is very important. And you know, here on the Zuiderdam, you never pass a staff member that doesn't say hello. It could be a guy cleaning the wall, and when you walk by, he's going to smile and say hello to you. Talk to us about building a friendly customer service culture, as you guys have here.
Yeah. Well, it's, I think, it goes back a long time. When it's still, when the company was still in Dutch hands.
Right.
At that time, it was already very important for everybody. And I think it's in every Dutch person's heart to greet and meet with everybody. And when we got our Indonesian and Filipino crew on board, and that started around 1973,
right.
They grow in the culture with the Dutch, and that changed a little. We had more in the beginning it was more Indonesian, of more Dutch than Indonesians, and then it turned around because a lot of Dutch went working ashore. They were getting older. Only management positions were available at that time.
Right.
And all the stewarding and the dining room functions, bartender functions, that went all to Indonesian and Filipino crew. And they are also by themselves already warm at heart to greet people and to be nice to people.
Right.
And that's something that it's in their gene. So, and the same as everybody else on the ship, every crew member who works here, they see it from others, and it's something
it just becomes a culture. Ron, I heard a speech some years ago by Ross Perot. This was before Ross Perot got into politics. This was just when he was known as a billionaire, you know, the successful businessman in the United States. And he was talking about how his people were. It was important that people be friendly to one another in business and so forth. And someone in the crowd asked him. It was a pretty small group out in Texas. They asked him. They said, "Well, how do you train your people to be friendly?" And he had a funny answer. He said, he just kind of snapped back at the guy and said, "Why don't you try to hire friendly people to start with and see if that doesn't resolve the problem?"
Yeah, well, that's true.
I think that's what you're saying.
You can't train people to be nice.
Right.
It has to be in yourself.
Right.
You have to be. You have to love to be with people.
Right.
And to talk to them and to please them, to serve them. And not only in the time that you work, but also in your time off. When you walk outside, for instance, and you see when our guys go on board off the ship.
Right.
To take a walk around, and they see guests walking on in the town.
Right.
They also greet them. It's not only when they are on the ship.
Right.
Or when they are working. And
I think the important thing for anybody in business to understand is that customer service starts at the hiring level. I mean, you can't, if you hire a grouchy, mean person, you're going to have a hard time.
Yes.
Putting that person in front of your customers. I know in our business we do. Electronic field service. In fact, some shipboard, we do a little bit of field service on shipboards for large electrical type things.
Yeah.
And so we have our field service engineers going out in the field away from the office, and they are dealing with customers that are very important to us, just like everyone's customers are important to them. And you can't have a guy out there being rude to customers. It's just not going to make it for you.
No, absolutely not.
And we have to, I think number one is as leaders in a company, we have to establish that as a baseline principle that we're not going to tolerate that, number one. But also on the hiring end, that I think you guys have done such a good job. It really just, it's amazing to me. I love hearing what you're saying about that. It is a culture here. I think probably anybody being hired in to work on the Zuiderdam would immediately feel out of place if he was not being friendly to people.
Oh, yeah, because absolutely.
You stick out like a sore thumb.
They also don't get hired. Because in Indonesia and in the Philippines, we have agencies and schools
right.
where they first go through before they go to the ships.
Right.
So in there, the people in Indonesia, in the school and in the agency, they have conversations with those people,
right?
And they go to school and they see them how they work,
right?
How they treat a guest when they come at the table. And out of 100 that we hire, maybe 98 are perfect, but there are always 2-3 that we still have to work on when they are on the ship,
right?
And everybody can have a bad day.
Right, exactly.
The guys work 10, 11, 12 hours a day sometimes, 7 days
hard,
a week.
Very hard here.
10 months in a row.
Right.
So, yeah, I can imagine that sometimes that you can have a bad day.
Right.
It's not okay, and to show it outside.
Right.
You have to try to keep it downstairs. But sometimes it happens, and when we get a comment from a guest, listen, I was served not the right way, and he was a little grumpy today, then we talk to the gentleman and try to find out why he was grumpy at that moment. And then most of the time, he can be tired, or something can happen at home. Something can happen on the ship with friends and girlfriends. So, yeah, it's difficult.
I would think, and as we all know, all customers are not the most friendly people. You're not selecting them for that. And, just we've all had customers that perhaps were a little less than nice to us as they should be. I'll have to say, I'm not an expert person on cruising by any stretch of imagination, but being on here, I really think that the friendliness of the staff rubs off on the other clientele here, because the staff speaks to you, people on the boat begin to speak to one another as well. Yeah. I don't know, it's just going down the hall. People are just friendly. They just talk to you. Now, maybe that's just people maybe people at cruise are a more friendly people anyway, because that's going to be rubbing shoulders with a lot of people. So maybe that selects that. I don't know. but I think your attitude, I think that your crew here does influence passengers to be more friendly too. Yeah. I do think that.
No, they do an excellent job.
They really do.
We are very proud of our crew.
Have you seen? I'll ask you after the break. I wonder if you've been in this business a long time. If you have noticed customer expectations, what they expect from a cruise ship, changing in our business, our customer expectations have changed.
Yes.
Over time, especially I think with the advent of all of us walking around with the cell phones and instant communication, so we sort of expect instant answers to things nowadays.
Absolutely.
And I'd like to talk to you after the break about that. We're here on the motor vessel Zuiderdam, which is the part of the Holland America fleet. We're with the culinary manager Ron Van Vliet, and we'll be back in just a moment. I'm Eddie Mayfield.
Back in a moment with more Driven to Business. I'm Eddie Mayfield. Stick around. Welcome back to Driven to Business. This week we are offshore on the Holland America's motor vessel Zuiderdam off in the Alaskan waters on a remote. We'll go there now. We're interviewing Ronald Van Vliet, the culinary and hotel manager for the ship. Here we are.
Okay, we're on the motor vessel Zuiderdam with the culinary manager and acting hotel manager here, Ron Van Vliet. And Ron, we were talking about customer service before the break, and we were talking about customer expectations that we perhaps have seen change. Do you have any comment on that? Have your customer expectations gotten more stringent or less stringent as time has gone on?
Well, we try to give our guests everything they ask, but there are limitations.
Right.
Because everything, and you can't compare it with the early days, and I'm talking about the 70s, 80s, 90s, where every day caviar was on the menu. And
right.
Because everything is getting more expensive, and the cruises are getting, the trips are getting cheaper.
Right, yeah, you're in a price pressure on
yes.
competition. Yes, right.
Yes, we are in a big price competition with other companies, and but that is something that our head office in Seattle deals with.
Right.
But we can see that guests are paying less and expecting more. That, and we are trying to accommodate them as far as we can. But yeah, we also have our limitations. And no more caviar or lobster
right.
every day on the menu.
Right.
It's only once a week now.
I honestly don't know how anyone could complain about the food on this ship.
No.
I really don't understand how that could possibly happen. You know, just out of curiosity, of course, I'm from the United States, from Georgia, but I meet people from all over. Are most of your passengers on this, are most of them Americans or Canadians, or is that not true? Are they from all
well,
over?
Well, we have a big difference in demographics. When we sail out of Vancouver, then we have, say, a 50-50 American-Canadian.
Okay.
And we have a lot of Australians.
You're right. I met several from Australia.
Yep.
Here. Yes.
British.
Right.
A lot of British. Chinese.
Right.
Chinese guests from Hong Kong and China, but also a lot of Chinese who live in Vancouver.
Right.
Emigrated
right.
from Hong Kong or China.
Right.
And then we have still a lot of Dutch people sailing with the company because we are still sailing with the Dutch flag on the back.
Right.
So that, Holland America Line is something very popular in Holland still. It started very early with transporting guests of people from Holland to the United States as immigrants, and when the airplanes came in, they started with the cruise lines, and
when I'm sitting down at a dinner table with my wife Vicki and I, when we're sitting down, it's kind of fun in a way. You sit down and someone is from Australia or from England or from Holland or whatever. That's kind of fun. And it's also fun just to meet other people from all over the United States, which is a big deal. You might be expecting me to ask, finish the sentence, about what would be the number one complaint from passengers, but I'd like to turn around the other way and ask, what is the number one compliment you probably get from passengers that sail with you?
The fine food and the fine service.
Right.
Yes.
That's not surprising.
Those are the first compliments that we get.
Do you measure? How do you? I know you measure your customer satisfaction, but tell our listeners, how do you measure your customer satisfaction? How do you ensure that you're keeping the level of customer service that you would like to keep?
Well, we have an electronic guest survey program,
right?
And we used to have the guest survey on the ship,
right,
as a piece of paper,
right,
that at the end of the cruise we send that to the cabin. Now these days it's all online,
right,
so when the guest comes on board or book their cruise, they also get a login and a password to enter the electronic guest survey,
right,
and in there they can give numbers and comments. So the guest can rate us from number 7 is the highest,
right,
and number 1 is the lowest. And we get around 700 to 800 surveys back,
right,
after every cruise.
And you have about how many people? About 2,000 people on a cruise?
2,000, yes.
Okay, right.
Yeah. But 800 surveys back, it's 1,600 people.
That's an excellent feedback. That really is.
That's absolutely.
Great feedback. Let's talk about the cruise business in general for just a moment. I think you've already alluded to this a little bit. But from your perspective, from where you sit, is the cruise business a growing business? Is that a growing business?
Oh, still. Yes. They keep building new ships. Actually, Holland America Line is also building a new ship.
Wow.
We are getting the Pinnacle class. We had the Vista of, sorry, we had the S class. Those were the smallest.
Right.
The R class, they were a little bigger than the Vista class. That's the size.
All right.
And the Signature class.
Right.
That's the New Amsterdam and the Eurodam. And now Holland America Line is building the Pinnacle class.
Right.
And that's even a little bigger than the Signature class. But not that big that it is that you lose the warmth of the company. So it stays within the Holland America Line warm measurements.
Right. As you and I talk about where the Zuidernam goes, and of course this is the Alaska Inside Passage cruise right now, which is just beautiful and wonderful cruise. But what's your most popular destination? Is it the Alaska cruise, or is it Europe, or what's your most popular?
For me?
Yeah. No, I mean for your customer. What sells the most?
That's difficult for me to answer.
Right.
I have to ask the future cruise consultant that we have on board.
Okay.
But no, I think that all destinations are very popular with our clientele.
Okay.
And we have our Alaska ships are all fully booked.
Yeah.
And Europe is fully booked. Australia is fully booked. Actually, every itinerary with Holland America Line is always full
That's
ships.
It's a great problem to have, Ron, as you know.
It's a luxury problem.
It's a great problem. Yes. I will just say, as a matter of personal testimony, if you don't book these things ahead of time, you will not be booking them, because I've learned that myself. You really have got to book ahead of time to get that done. In general, like, where do you get your customers? Would you think your customers mainly come from outside advertising, from word of mouth, or what would be your guess on that?
I think both. We do advertising on TV, on the internet, in magazines, in newspapers, but I think the most important one is the people talking about you.
Right.
That mouth-to-mouth advertisement.
You know, we've done some entire programs on here before about marketing and things of that sort. And I don't know if you're familiar with it. There's a writer, Malcolm Gladwell, has written a book called Tipping Point. And the book is about how the little things turn into big things. And he starts off of all things with the hush puppy shoes, how'd that get to be big. And it's a fascinating book. But at the end of the book, he makes a couple of interesting comments. He says that with all of the advertisements and the literature and the smartphones and internet and everything we all carry around with us now, that we are all in the modern age, we are all so bombarded with advertising and marketing messages that we've all, as he puts it, we've developed immunities to them. We all sort of just sort of don't see them in a lot of ways. We filter them out. He said, however, what seems to be, if we ever let that, he says, it looks to him like we are re-entering the age of word of mouth, where word of mouth trumps everything. I look at my own life, you know, when I originally booked with Holland America to come on this cruise, I did it because someone else told me they'd been on this trip, you know, who to go with. I didn't know, go with this line or that line or the other line, but they said they went with Holland America, and they said it was really fantastic. And that's why we came, I mean, the first time. And I wonder if that's probably not a common story.
Well, I think that's the best advertisement we have. That people who had a good time, they talk to their friends and family, and they almost convince them,
right,
because it was so nice and so good, they almost convince them to go. Instead of waiting to ask somebody, where did you go on vacation? No, people start talking about it to other people when they went on vacation.
Right. And you also know that it works the other way too. If you've eaten in a restaurant that you didn't like, or you dealt with any business, a plumber you didn't like, or anything that you didn't like, and you tell your friends that, man, that guy, that was just no good over there.
Yeah.
They're not going to go there, regardless of what kind of advertisements they get hit with. They're
absolutely
not going because it's the word of mouth. You said told them it was bad. You're a person they trust.
Yeah.
They trust you more than they trust the advertisement, and so you're not going. I think it just reiterates again the importance of us in business being sure that our customer service is in fact very good, because it really is the edge.
Yeah.
You know, all of you guys, the business I'm in, you know, we sell industrial equipment, and it works very well. You know, we're not the only people selling it. Other people sell industrial equipment. Yeah. It works very well, too. And, you know, there are other companies that have cruise ships.
Absolutely.
And you're not the only person doing that. So you've got to be, it's just got to be a great experience for people to go home and talk about it. And I do think that's fantastic. Well, I'll just say again, you guys do a great job of that. I was trying to think before we began taping, was there anything that I would say was negative? And frankly, I can't come up with a thing except that we all overeat and gain weight on here. That's the only thing I would come up with.
Yeah.
It probably is negative. But I will also say you have a beautiful deck for walking. I've been trying to walk a couple miles a day up here, and it's absolutely...
And a beautiful gym go to.
Yes, you do.
Yeah.
And the scenery, you cannot be beat in either place when you're...
Oh, yeah. Here, Alaska, there's no more beautiful scenery as Alaska.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
Hey, you're listening to Driven to Business. Let me remind everyone that we are streaming live on biz1190.com. We're here every Saturday morning on Atlanta's Biz 1190 AM. I'm Eddie Mayfield. We'll be right back.
Keep in mind, we are streaming live on biz1190.com, and today's program will be podcast on eddiemayfield.com and iTunes and everywhere else. Back in a minute. I'm Eddie Mayfield. You're with Driven to Business. Okay, here's the final segment of today's Driven to Business, which was recorded a few weeks ago on the motor vessel Zuiderdam, one of Holland America's big ships out in the Alaskan waters. We're talking with Ron Van Vliet, who was the hotel and culinary manager aboard the ship. Now back to the ship.
So our guest today, very interesting, is Ron Van Vliet. Ron is a culinary manager and the acting hotel manager right now on the Holland America's motor vessel, the Zuiderdam, a very, very pretty and well-appointed ship. And Ron, you guys did such a good job, and I'm having a great time here.
Well, thank you.
I appreciate that. Let's talk a minute about careers in the cruise industry. I think a lot of people would think this is a dream job, and I'm assuming, I guess I got to ask you if you enjoy your job. I hope you do. You seem to. You seem to.
I love it.
Yeah. And even if his boss is listening, yes, he loves his job. So, but tell us a bit about your career path. How did you get into this?
Well, I started almost 24 years ago with this company in October 1990. And I was not that young anymore. I was already 32 years old.
It's pretty young, right?
And not to start in the cruise industry. Yeah. No, my father always sailed with Holland America Line.
Oh, wow. Okay.
He did it for 22 years.
Okay.
And until 1973,
right,
what I told you earlier in our conversation. At that time, they changed from the Dutch to the Indonesians and the Filipinos.
Okay.
And my father sailed for 22 years with the company, and I always loved it, because seeing those ships coming into Rotterdam and leaving them, it was something that touched you.
Right.
And I always said, I want to do that one day. And I still had a lot of friends working for Holland America Line and in the management positions. And I was a bartender in Rotterdam in one of the famous bars at that time, run by an old employee from Holland America Line.
Right.
And also a lot of people who were working in that bar were from Holland America Line. So one day I said, okay, I'm going to try it. So I asked one of my friends to do a good word for me, and that's how I ended up with Holland America Line. And I was 15 years when I left school. So, and now these days, you can only start with the company in the management position when you start as training and development.
Right.
When you come from a hotel school with a good education. But the time that I started, the only thing I brought was my work experience and my two hands and the knowledge to show people
right
what to do.
Now you know, there is another side. There's the, you're in the hospitality and the logistics, I guess, side of the would be the correct way to put it.
Yeah.
Of the company, there are the for lack of a better term, boat crew. These are guys, the captains, the navigators, the engineers, those guys. Now that's a different career path.
Completely different career path. Yeah, they start, of course, they do their schools.
Right.
They are very high educated. They go to school for years. Same as the hotel school,
but right?
Yeah, then for nautical and engineering, and they come on board as a cadet.
Right.
They work their way, their way up. They go from cadet to Ford officer, third, second, first, chief officer, now staff captain, and then captain. Yeah, that take years.
You know, you see this all the time, and perhaps you've grown accustomed to it. It just amazes me to watch them pull these monstrous machines, these ships, into port, oftentimes right into the very close to other vessels, yep. and just pull, and you don't even feel a bump when they come up to the dock. Nope. They put it right on the dock, many times without tugs, without anything, just push it right up there. It's astonishing to me how well that is done. It's just amazing.
And it's all driven by little joysticks on the bridge. And yeah, those guys, they can maneuver the ship better and easier than I park my car.
It must be like driving. I can't even think of an analogy, but I was going to say your house from your front porch, but no one has a house this big.
Yeah.
So it's almost like driving your city from the front porch.
Yes, it is.
In a way, and they put it right in there. Hey, Ron, tell us about, you have a leadership position here. We talk a lot about leadership here on Driven to Business. Could you describe your personal leadership style, or perhaps how the people that work for you would describe your leadership style?
Yeah. I'm very open. I don't walk around like a policeman.
Right.
And I have the largest department on the ship. I have over 300 guys working in the culinary department. And actually the key persons that I communicate with are the dining room manager, the executive chef, the provision master for my provisions, the controller, to keep me informed about the money for the general supplies.
Right.
The Pinnacle Grill manager, because he runs his own venue.
Right.
The Lido manager, and I have an assistant. And I have always learned to be honest and open to everybody.
Right.
And you don't win or gain anything to be rude or to shout or to scream or to tell somebody that he is a no-no. No, the way of success that I see is when you are capable to motivate people and to teach them something and to make them happy. Everybody needs to be happy in their job, and that is what I think very important. I'm very approachable for everybody. I don't sit in a chamber with a cage.
You know, you said earlier, and I sort of picked up on something you said earlier. We were talking about the being friendly in customer service, and you said everybody has a bad day and everybody makes mistakes. And I think that says a lot about your leadership style right there, I think.
Yeah. Well, people are as they are. And we are all human beings, and we have to treat everybody with respect. And that's what I'm doing.
You know, I know in our company and in many other well-run companies, you sort of have a bit of a, if you make people that are so afraid of making a mistake, if you have employees that are just terrified of making a mistake, what they would tend to do is nothing.
Yeah.
Because they would rather be caught doing nothing than
make
a mistake. And that's a destructive leadership practice.
Absolutely.
If you engender that kind of a...
Yeah. Well, if you walk around in my department, in the culinary department, 300 people, they make mistakes.
Right.
I also make mistakes.
Right.
But it's the power to, or not the power, it's the, how do you call it? You have to tell people how they have to do it. And instead of start shouting, hey, you're doing this wrong or that wrong.
Right.
No, tell them how they have to do it.
Right.
And correct them in a nice way. That's the only way where you can win the battle.
I appreciate. I quote a gentleman that wrote Jim Collins, who's written several business books, and I quote him pretty often. Well, Good to Great and How the Mighty Fall. And you know, one of the things he says over and over, the mark of a good leader, and he's talking about statistically good leaders, guys that have built major companies into much bigger companies. He said as you study them, the trait that sticks out in all of them is humility, which is something we don't think about always in good leaders, but according to Collins, it is the defining factor people that are good leaders is they're humble. And yep. Ron, you come across as an humble guy, and I think that's very telling of your leadership style. Hey, thank you so much for you're a great guest. Thank you for taking your time. You're a very busy person, and you as you say that your day doesn't really end at all. And you've got there's all sorts of things going on. There's a flurry of activity going on the boat right now. Even as the rest of us are relaxing, your people are getting ready to reach Vancouver. You're
running around. Tomorrow, a new loading day.
Exactly.
Stores, provisions.
Well, you do a great job. Thank you for being my guest today.
Well, it was my pleasure, Mr. Mayfield. Thank you very much.
You've been listening to Driven to Business. I'm Eddie Mayfield. We're here every week at 11 o'clock right here on Atlanta's Biz 1190 WAFS. And we'll see you next week.
You've been listening to Driven to Business with your host, Eddie Mayfield. Visit next Saturday at 11 a.m. on Biz 1190 for more Driven to Business. To learn more about Driven to Business, visit eddiemayfield.com or call 770-448-4644.